For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a few. Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live at Taco Mac right off of Highway 92. We are in Woodstock. Come on out and hang out with us, man. It is July 3rd, Mike. July 4th tomorrow. You mentioned it. A lot of people already off the road. I mean, listen, you said your commute up here wasn't that bad today.
Knock wood, man. Yeah, coming up on 285 from the south side. It wasn't too shabby. And I know the interstate was kind of stop and go, but that's 75 any day of the week. But a lot of folks, if you're heading to the lake, and I saw a lot of folks moving up 575, maybe heading to the mountains to try and cool off.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, if you're in this neck of the woods, man, come and see us. We'll be here at Woodstock. We got a lot of great listeners. Good to meet some new friends as well.
No doubt. And we got a lot to talk about, man. As we get ready for 4th of July holiday. Mike and I, by the way, will be back on Friday with the full show. Braves last night, Mike, had it, and then they didn't. I guess we can say hello to Soler again because he goes deep last night. But it was the home runs. And, you know, we've been talking about Ronaldo Lopez and how well he's been pitching all season long. They're back at it tonight, which we'll talk to Grant McCauley about later in the show as Chris Sale goes for another dub. He's been so money, and he's going to be an all-star this year. But before we get to all of that, Mike, last night was like indicative of this up and down thing we've been talking about with this Braves team.
Yeah, we saw a young pitcher, Birdsong. Kid, by the way, you see his mustache? I mean, McLovin had a better mustache. He's 22, and he literally looks like he's about 12 years old. But, hey, I tell you what, man, when you can mix that kind of velocity with the changeup and nice breaking ball, that guy was impressive. He did give up 2 big flies, struck out 5. The thing I saw with Lopez was, the problem is because he's a relief pitcher making the transition to a starter, as he gets up in the pitch count and as he got into 80s and 90s, and all of a sudden, boom, that's when he gives up the 2 home runs.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, I mean, listen, the Braves right now, guys, you know, you talk about these you know, 1 or 2 run games. So they're 7-29 this year in games where they give up 4 runs or more. And the crazy thing is that's second fewest wins in MLB. Last year, the Braves finished 43-51 in MLB, which was the highest win total and win percentage when you talk about these kinds of games. So, Mike, we talk about the comparisons. I can't do it anymore. There is no comparison. Last year was special. We didn't achieve the ultimate goal of winning the World Series.
Right.
But as far as the offense compared to last year to this year, there is no comparison. This offense doesn't even come close to what we were doing last year. And that's part of the issue. Now, the good news, I think, is Riley and Murphy both go back-to-back. They go deep off of Birdsong, as you mentioned, Mike. But I think, you know, again, until those guys get red hot, I don't know if this team's going to take off.
Right. And the thing last night is, Ozuna, I brought this up to Grant yesterday. Look, guys, I'm not bagging on Ozuna. I'm just telling you, after having one of the most amazing first 3.5 months in anybody's career, he's cooling off a little bit. He's now 3 for his last 27. So, he unfortunately, Carl, you knew that at some point he was going to come back to earth a little bit. His average has dropped down almost 25 points. So we're hoping that, you know, he can refire it. But, you know, he couldn't carry this team the entire way. Olsen, 0 for 3 last night. Ozzie Albies, I was ready to scream. You had a relief pitcher who was who was struggling a little bit. Ozzie goes first pitch swinging. I know that he does that. That's his thing. That's why
take
he's not a,
few,
good leader.
Take a
friggin' pitch, man. I'm screaming at the TV. I put the picture up. We're leading 2-0. Ike goes in the back to do his business in the Pine Straw. By the time he comes back, we're tied at two. two home runs. And then, unfortunately, look, I get it. Everybody loves Jesse Chavez. It's an amazing story. Can we slow our roll? I mean, I get it. He's defying age and the laws of physics. But still, Jesse last night was not sharp, and he gave up a home run. And I know the team loves him. They got the T-shirts trying to get him to his first All-Star game. But last night, you needed more run support. You're supposed to tee off on a kid like Birdsong, if we're honest. But
no doubt.
There's just too many missing elements in that lineup.
Right? Well, Mike, you mentioned the averages, right? And I don't want to dive too deep in this, but even if you wanted to talk about OPS, which is slugging and on-base combined, neither Olsen or Riley right now are over 800. That's a problem. Both of these guys, when you talk about their average, their batting average, guys, and it's not career, but when you talk about this season, Riley's hitting 250, Murphy's hitting 218.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. And it's good to see Murphy hit a home run, but, I mean, I need Murphy to bat better than Dunn.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if we're honest here. But you mentioned Riley with the home run, Short and Wall. Giving you not much of much. 1 for 5. Kelnick, though, continues. 1 for 4. He's back.
Did you see his defensive play last night?
Dude, he had 2 great catches, but the one going to his right was unbelievable. Going to his left was amazing.
Unbelievable.
You're right if you're watching on TV, his left.
Correct. But you know what? We've been talking about his bat in the leadoff spot, but these are the things he's going to have to do to continue to help this team, whether it's in the field or at the plate. Let's hear the home run from Sean Murphy that put the Braves up. Mike was just talking about it. You look up, and all of a sudden, boom, you're up on these guys.
Series on Sunday. Sean Murphy gets into one to left center. Does that have enough juice? Yes, sir! Back to back! Riley and Murphy making it 2-0 Atlanta.
So, you know, you're up. As we said, they end up losing the game 5-3. Today, it again will be our man Chris Sale. And Chris Sale has been more than we can imagine. 10-3. 2.79 ERA. And Big O back at the studio, who's doing all the things today. He's producing. He is our engineer back at the studio. Big shout out to Jersey Mike, our on-site engineer here at Taco Mac, guys, which is where we're broadcasting from. Come on out and join us. Let me hear Austin Riley talk about how he thinks, Mike, and this is interesting, big hits seem to be tougher this year.
Each night it seems like, you know, when we're in this situation, we're right there. And just, you know, can't get that, you know, that you know, that big hit to build that momentum and keep going, and you know, for whatever reason, but you know, we just got to continue to push forward and work every day.
Trade deadline again, July 30th, which is about what, 3.5 weeks away.
Right.
I said this yesterday, and a guy really got upset at me. I can't believe you're giving up on this team when I said we're not a World Series team right now.
No, that's there's not much to say we're a World Series. Now, the good news is there's a lot of teams in the National League that aren't either.
Correct.
Nobody would have given the Diamondbacks a shot last year at this point, right, brother?
No, but it's July, and I said I would wait until when? July 1st.
Right.
Well, it's about to be July 4th, and this is where I'm at right now. It doesn't mean, again, that we're not a playoff team, but, yeah, he was really upset with me saying that yesterday, Mike. He's like, you're giving up. No, I'm not giving up. But I need to see what moves are going to be made. And I also, as we alluded to, need to see the guys that carried this team last year carry it again.
Right.
And they haven't. And we know Acuna's not coming back. We know Strider's not coming back. So you're not looking. We've been past that.
Right.
But what are Riley and Olsen and Albies, if Money Harris comes back, the guys that carried this team are not doing that.
But is this just an off year? That's the thing about when you win the division every year and you just kind of take it as a birthright if you're a Braves fan, which I get it. You know, you just expect your team's going to roll.
Sure.
And AA locked up all these guys, but unfortunately, a lot of these guys are just having bad years right now by their standards. I know we always use the phrase, they'll get back to being their baseball card. Ozzie's at 254. You know, Olsen's at 239. Last year, he was closer to 300.
That's right.
He's more of a 245 guy. You know, that's why I'm saying Olsen last year when that baseball.
So he overexceeded expectations.
I think Olsen is coming back to what is more regular Olsen, if we're honest. See, this is why, how much salary are you willing to take on? Can you take on a star? Are you looking for and they're using NBA lingo, expiring contract, but are you looking for a guy that's going to be relatively inexpensive? You guys realize how much NCAA threaded the needle in 21, how impossible that equation was to get Jock Peterson and Rosario and Soler, and they all worked.
Yeah.
So I'm just, we need to do that, and we got to wait a month to do it because of the trade deadline. So it's tough, man. It's hard times right now.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Text us as well. Follow him on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. Mike mentioned it at the top of the hour. We got a bunch of guests that are going to stop by, including our buddy Brett Boone. And we'll talk to them about the Braves, but we'll also go around the major leagues. And then in the 3 o'clock hour, listen, we know we start the season with the Steelers.
Right.
And we're going to get the latest from our buddy up there in Pittsburgh from the Post-Gazette, Mike. He's covered the team for a very long time, Ray Fittipaldo. Here's the deal. The Steelers, and we said this yesterday. I forget who we were talking to, Mike, and we said, you know, it was our buddy John McClain.
Right.
And we said, what are we going to get with Russell Wilson? And everybody just assumes that Russell Wilson is going to be the starter in week one. And I have two as well. But I do think Justin Fields is ultimately going to be the guy there.
Rusty Mansell was on the Steakhouse yesterday, and he was saying, look, he knows, as you do, you know the Fields family, as does Rusty, he was saying, look, this kid's not going to Pittsburgh to take a backseat to anybody.
No.
He could try to win that job. And Tomlin doesn't owe Russell Wilson anything. So anybody who feels that somehow, you know, Tomlin's going to sit there and go, he's anointed. No. If Fields plays better, Fields will get the job. I believe that. But can Fields do it?
It's a good question. Joe Patrick's going to stop by. We'll talk some Falcons as we count down to the start of training camp. And also, we'll talk some more Braves with Grant McCauley. Big show ahead, guys, on the 3rd of July. DJ Diesel just welcomed us and said, hey, happy 4th, fellas. Happy 4th to you, DJ Diesel. Happy 4th to you guys listening. Be safe. Enjoy responsibly, as we like to say on this show, all right?
Hey, man, I'm not touching a firework. I leave that to my buddy Mike. I posted the photo up at Mike Bell ATL. It literally, and I know what you said in Texas, it was the same thing. He looks like he's going to reenact the Battle of Fort McHenry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have a lot of rockets red glare.
Well, you know, you go from sparklers to you're putting on the show at the Statue of Liberty. All right? I mean, come on, dude.
I told Mike, we're in a cul-de-sac. So you got like 6 houses. I go, how long is this display going to go on?
Correct.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah. And then the stuff that doesn't light, I can get it to light.
Boom. And then you're Jason Pierre-Paul. Yeah. Stay away from that stuff.
All right, man, we're coming back. We'll hit some headlines coming up. Also, LeBron signs his new deal. What's it mean for the Lakers? We'll talk about free agency as the Hawks continue to really do nothing at this point. It's Dukes and Bell.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bell, we're live at Taco Mac Woodstock. We're sitting here talking about plane rides and crazy landings. Jersey Mike went to college out in San Francisco, which got us talking about crazy landings and runways and all this stuff. We know a lot of people are traveling today and over the weekend, and a lot of people driving as well. We were just talking about crazy landings, and Mike was talking about flying into Hong Kong.
Yeah, the old Kai Tak Airport, which they don't use anymore, not for certainly not for domestic flights. They have a new airport they built, I believe, out on the bay or out. It's not in downtown Hong Kong. You would come in through the city and literally be looking at people putting their laundry up on their balcony.
Crazy.
I was just showing Carl some of the photos. It's pretty wild.
Well, I mean, flying in, it would freak you out. But hope you guys are having a great day. Come on out and hang out with this man. Great drink specials going on here as well at Taco Mac. Maybe you're cooking at the house like so many of us tomorrow, and maybe you're getting together with friends or whatever the circumstances are for the 4th of July. Great day to just chill and not do anything and let Taco Mac do all of the work for you. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to our buddy about what's going on around MLB. Brett Boone's going to join us. Odyssey MLB Insider here in about 15 minutes. Mike, let's talk about LeBron, because I want you to hear Bronny. You played one of these sound bites at the end of the show yesterday when you were talking about about him not concerning himself with playing with his father. Headlines are brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. But LeBron James, guys, signs his deal. It's not for as much as we thought, but it does have a no-trade. Mm. So, you know, for LeBron, I think he's one of two players in the league that has a no-trade clause, but he's staying with the Lakers. It's still a lot of money, Mike, when you talk about 2 years, $104 million. It's got a player option on it. So LeBron gets what he wants. He gets to play with Bronny. And more importantly, he gets to stay a Laker.
Now, look, LeBron's got enough money to buy and sell basically half the country. A lot of folks, and I saw some stuff today saying, if you're going to make one last run at a title, don't you take a little bit less off the top and get some players in here? I mean, look, that ship has sailed. Anybody who would be an impactful player as far as a free agent has come and gone. If you want to try to trade, I mean, it just seems like you're going to play out the string and you're not going to be able to compete in the Western Conference because it's so good. And like, I got to be honest, I'm a little disappointed. He did win that championship, but nobody remembers a championship in a bubble.
Yep.
You know, I as an NBA fan, I would like to see one last ride of LeBron. But when you take that much money, knowing that, you know, it just is what it is. It's just a money grab, pure and simple.
I mean,
you got everything you wanted. You're playing with your son. But, I mean, how about trying to win one more championship?
So here's my thing, and I hope it doesn't happen. But at some point, he's going to look old. And I don't know when it's going to happen. Guys, he's 40, okay? He's 39. He'll be 40 when the season rolls around.
And they're going to talk about load management.
Correct.
They're going to have to deal with that this year.
So this is why when we talk about seedings and who's the best team in the West and home court advantage, you've got to manage that with LeBron. I'm not telling you he's still not a great player. Dude averaged 26, 8, and 7 last year. He almost averaged a damn triple-double at 39 years old. So when you say he can still play, yes. Mm. But, Mike, over the next few years, is there a game we're watching where all of a sudden LeBron, he looks old?
There were times last year where he looked fatigued. Yes. You've seen that. It's father time. It is what it is. That's why if ever there was a guy that could use some load management, but who's going to step up? Where are the points coming from? I mean, J.J. Redick is going to try to, you know, do what they can. But, I mean, you're not better than, right off the top of your head, the T-Wolves, the Mavericks, the Nuggets. I'm not sure what Golden State's going to do. They missed out. There was a chance they were going to get Paul George. But, you know, I mean, even the Clippers cross town. Without Paul George might have a better shot than you guys. The Lakers do hire our old pal, Nate McMillan.
Oh.
So I think when you bring in a young coach who's never done it, smart. Two coaches with a lot of experience. Remember Scott Brooks from Oklahoma City?
Yes.
So Scott Brooks and Nate McMillan will be on the bench with J.J. Redick.
I think it's a smart hire by Rob Pelinka because, let's be honest, I mean, J.J. obviously knows these guys and is signing off on it. But, yeah, man, I mean, you're bringing tons of NBA experience. Guys who have been around championship-caliber teams and played on championship-caliber teams. For Nate McMillan. And for everybody that, you know, killed Nate here, listen, when he was LP's assistant, he did a hell of a job. So much gave him the opportunity to take over, and you saw what happened.
Right.
How that played out after that season, Mike, I don't know if we'll ever know. And I said to somebody today on social media, you know, everybody talks about, oh, Nate this and LP that. Sometimes it's not the coach, man. Sometimes it's not the coach. This is a player's league, Mike, and if you don't get along with the star of the team, you're not going to be there.
That's why when management came up with this whole idea about DeJounte Murray, remember, if you think I'm making this up, go Google it. Nate went to Oklahoma City, talked to Trey about how this is going to work. What's this dynamic of two point guards? And you would think it would be Trey's like, yeah, I'm cool. Yeah, he get me the ball in space. I want to. Never happened. It just never materialized. The defense that Nate was pushing for, we lost the guys that played defense because they left the roster. Solomon Hill, you know, no one's ever going to consider Gallo an all-world defender, but he at least get in the way of somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we had a lot of guys that could actually do some things that fit what Nate was trying to do. And they all were left. They left and were never replaced.
Let's hear Bronny James talk about what his dad told him. He got introduced yesterday at his press conference at Stoops and Bell.
You know, we haven't gone too deep into that stuff yet, especially because we haven't even started summer league yet. But, you know, just stuff that he's been telling me my whole life, just having that work ethic and coming in and getting your work in and listening to your coaches and being coachable, stuff like that, is he's, you know, driven into my head my whole life.
Yeah, he's basically saying my dad hasn't, override anything that J.J. Redick is about to tell me. That's what he's basically saying.
Look, it's a tough spot. I mean, only the silliest of silly people who don't know which way the wind is blowing would take that at face value. For everything from, you know, no, I never thought. You never thought. Everybody and their uncle was talking about you and your dad playing together from the moment you decided to go to USC. So, look, am I saying he's disingenuous? Well, his father's, he's made an art of being disingenuous, not in a mean-spirited way, but just not being 100% transparent.
Bronny, this is the cut Mike's talking about as we talk about the Lakers. LeBron signs back with them as we continue to look at the free agent market in the NBA. If you're going Dukes and Bell, what the Hawks do? Nothing. Bronny James on thinking about playing with his father.
You know, I always try to put that narrative of me trying to get my name out for myself. But just coming in and trying to get better, you know, Rob has told me that there's a great development system here. So I just want to come in and get my work in and get better every day. But I never really had a thought of, you know, me going to play with my dad. But that's always, you know, there to take part of. But that wasn't a main focus of mine to do.
Wasn't a main focus.
Okay.
So you would have went anywhere then, right?
That's what your agent said, anyone drafts you, you're going to Australia. So that's why, I mean, look, I mean, it, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, no. It's just, this was just a giant charade.
Yes.
You know, or a charade, as they would say. It's just, I mean, okay. Whatever you say, Bronny, now, good luck. Good luck with this. You and your dad get to play for 2 years. By the way, Golden State, we're talking about NBA moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They actually did do something. They picked up Kyle Anderson.
Okay.
From the T-Wolves. Relatively inexpensive.
Sure.
3 years, $27 million deal. Sign and trade for a future second-round pick and swapping some cash. So, I mean, in case you wonder what Golden State is, they've got a lot of issues right now when it comes to, you know, the cap.
Salary.
Starting five, Draymond Green, Kuminga, Wiggins, Podemenski, and Curry. That's not good enough to beat the top teams in the West right now.
I don't feel that way. Let me hear Michael Thompson, by the way, Big O, talking about his son going to the Mavs and not the Lakers. Klay Thompson, by the way, Michael Thompson, he's from the Bahamas, for those who don't know. He was a number one overall pick. Plays with the Lakers, and then obviously Klay grew up a Laker fan, and then here's an opportunity for you to play for the Lakers, and Michael Thompson, who calls the Lakers games, said this.
When he told me that the Lakers were talking to him and or going to talk to him and the Mavs too, you know, obviously I tried to sell playing for the Lakers. Obviously that's the right thing for me to do and the proper thing for me to do, and I felt like it was the correct thing for me to do because I really believe in this franchise. The franchise has been so good to me and my family, including Klay. He grew up a Laker fan. He grew up idolizing Kobe Bryant like most players his age. I just thought it seemed like it would be the perfect fit for him to finally come back home, because we always talked about him playing for the Lakers. If he was not a Golden State Warrior, where else would he want to play?
But the better chance to get back to the NBA Finals with Luka and with Kyrie.
I think so, too. And listen, we won't know whether this is the right decision unless they're able to do that. But I also thought if the Lakers were able to get Klay, Mike, that would have put them back in business. Like, that's the one missing piece.
That's what they don't have.
They don't have that.
And I know that, again, it was a reach. Everybody's writing Klay Thompson off for dead. But that he's going to a place. Like, if he's coming here to Atlanta, I don't know what your expectations would. There, if they can manage, you know, again, load management, or that phrase comes up again. But get an older guy in, Carl, in position to make a run, you know, April, May, June, and that's all you need. And then that's when the pedigree will shine through in the playoffs.
So as far as the Hawks are concerned, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game, guys, this season. Visit mancavestore.com. I would love to tell you and give you a lot of hope right now. But as we move further and further away from day one of free agency and you see this list dwindling, and by the way, the rumor is, and I don't know if it'll happen because I don't think the Lakers have the money to do it, Mike, unless they just don't give a damn and they go, you know, into that apron two, that two-second tier, but they may sign DeMar DeRozan, who's the next guy on the list. He's a scorer. He can still play at 34 years old. But as far as the Hawks are concerned, I'm looking at this list, Mike, and I'm just kind of thinking to myself, the next move for us is going to come via trade. I do not see us signing any potential of the free agents that are still out there.
5 days left to use that trade exception. About we guesstimate around 20 or just not under $20 million left on it. That was from the John Collins trade to Utah, which I don't know. I mean, a lot of folks asking the question yesterday on the text line. I thought Capella was out.
I do too.
So what are we doing?
I guess they're going to evaluate it as they continue to move along.
You're not hearing anything about the Hawks making trades. Everything else is dropping. Rumors about everything else, whether it's a Woj bomb or Shams Charania, you're not getting anything about us.
I had heard before free agency started, and even before they made the trade with DJ, that they wanted to do three moves. I figured the first would be the trade of either Trey or DJ. DJ gets traded. I thought the second one, Mike, might be a combination deal of either Hunter and Capella for another player with picks involved to kind of recoup some of those picks. And then maybe that third move is going to be, hey, we're going to pick up an additional scorer, a shooter, or a defender on the wing. The only thing they did was trade DeJounte. And that is what's interesting to me is, from what I was hearing, it was going to be a multitude of things. Now, does it mean, as you said, that as we get into the season, it doesn't happen that way?
Right.
But then you are basically, I think you're going to get robbed. No, I'm serious. Everybody's going to know this is what
correct.
You want to do.
I mean, and again, so we're kind of setting ourselves up to move Capella the same way we moved, John Collins at the end of the day for next to nothing.
Yep.
So I thought, if nothing else, and I apologize if you've been listening. If you do listen every day, we do love you.
Thank you.
But I've just been throwing it out there. Get an expiring contract for an expiring contract, if for nothing else. See if maybe somebody works here, fits what Quinn is doing, maybe wants to stay and make that work. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's so many, as we say, needles to thread to seem to make some of these trades work. But we're seeing everybody else in the league making trades because they're willing to spend a little money, and we're not doing that.
404-726-0929. We got a lot more to get to. We're going to talk to our buddy Brett Boone about all things that are going on around Major League Baseball, including his thoughts on the Braves. I think, Mike, he'll probably tell us to chill. We've got a great team. They'll be fine. I just don't feel that way watching this team every day. I do think we're good, but I don't know if we're going to be fine. I don't know if everything's just going to work out the way we expected to, with us being one of the top teams in the NL, and then more importantly, getting back to an NLCS.
I mean, as we said yesterday, and today, we feel, hey, every year we got this. Look at the Dodgers. The best team doesn't always win.
That's right.
You got to get some breaks. You got to stay healthy. I mean, ironically, 21, you lose your best player, and you win the World Series. This year, we got to find two guys. I need two position players. I need a bullpen piece.
Here you go, Freaky.
I need another starter. I mean,
I need a shortstop.
I need
a shortstop.
Here's what I need. I just don't need Tommy Pham. I need a guy that can come in here and hit like 30 home runs right now.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need some RBIs, man.
Well, at the end of the show last night, when Freaky was like, I think we need more players. I'm like, how many players do you expect to add to this team?
Well, if you go back to 2021, we added two bullpen pieces. And we added three position players.
Correct.
So
everyday guys.
Five guys, between now and the trade deadline. Not impossible.
Like, you don't even believe that.
It becomes like a caper film, like Ocean's. This is like Ocean's 14. We're putting a crew together. Anthopolis, you son of a. You know what I mean? We got to find these guys. Yeah, man. Well, but here's the other thing, guys. We don't have the equity in the farm system that we've had in years past.
That's true.
And I'm not. That's not a knock. I'm always an advocate for. I don't give a crap about who's going to be here in 5 years. Do it now if it gets me a World Series. But we've done a lot of that the last few years.
All right, we'll ask Brett Boone about the Yankees, the O's, all the things that are going on in the National League. By the way, Philly's a little banged up. By the way,
now. Yeah, man, we're not going to see Schwarber, who's been killing it at leadoff home runs, and obviously Bryce Harper is out, so they will not be here end of this week. First things first, let's beat up on the Giants, man.
All right, we'll talk to Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB Insider, next.
Sports Radio.
Oh, Mac, guys, right off of Highway 92, right across from the Home Depot here is where we are. And come on out and join us. Mike and I'll be here until 6:30 tonight because Atlanta United takes on New England. By the way, how do we play tonight, man? After that emotional win.
Well, that's the thing. It's so Atlanta United. Tiari makes that an unbelievable, whoops, now you see me, now you don't, steal the goalkeeper's ball. Amazing finish, one of the craziest finishes in MLS history, and now he's hurt. And now he's out. I don't know how. Did he get hurt in the celebration? Did somebody jump on his shoulder? I don't know, man. But, hopefully we can build off that momentum. Because, as we say, we've seen a lot with United, with the Braves, one step forward, two steps back. Hopefully it leads to something. But, Garth is in the process of adding new pieces, getting new faces in here. Because, whatever you thought about Almada, and certainly Yorgos left earlier, you got to replace that kind of scoring, that attack.
No, you absolutely do. So that's going to come your way, 6:30 pregame tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Our guy, and by the way, one of the big reasons we get a chance to come out here, and we certainly appreciate it, is our beer is on the wall, and they have a huge wall of brews on draft.
As you guys know, Taco Mac University, you drink enough of them, like our buddy, and eventually you get your own place on the wall, and then you get to have your own selections. And he was a big fan of Hey Man.
Yes.
And is.
So Trey said, hey, I want Hey Man on the wall, and that's one of the reasons why you can order it out here on draft. But it's in so many restaurants, obviously, in all the Publix around the state of Georgia, and many ways to get it with all the big stores, man, whether it's Total Wine, Bullets, wherever you go, Hey Man is going to be there. And by the way, get some watermelon lime in your life as well.
Yeah.
We are waiting on our buddy Brett Boone. We're going to talk to him in just a second here as we get a chance to talk some baseball. But while we were talking about the Braves, speaking of Trey, he came over and he said, was anybody paying attention to Arcia and his average and how he wasn't hitting last year? And the answer is no, because everybody else was hitting. But Mike, when you are not hitting as a team and certainly not scoring the runs
right.
that you should be, everything is glaring.
It's magnified.
It absolutely is. So it's not just about one guy, but he brought that up just saying, like, we weren't even talking about the fact that Arcia wasn't hitting last year. He hit, you know, better than expected, but he right. wasn't killing it, but he didn't have to. Because, again, the guys that were carrying this team, whether it was Acuna or Riley or Austin or Olsen, that's the difference.
But, I mean, so this gets back to that conversation you and I had about, you know, what is Matt Olsen and what is to be expected for him as far as, you know, the numbers. He's kind of come back to where he was in Oakland. Last year he had a career year.
He did.
You know, and if you're looking at Arcia last year batted .264. You know, for his career, he's a .243 hitter. So now he's a .211. So the equilibrium, as we said, I know it's cliche. The baseball card does kind of tell the story. But remember, I joked around with you yesterday. Somebody was complaining about it on the text line. I'm like, oh, you're going to bring Dansby back? Dansby's horrible.
Oh, yeah, he's been bad.
Dansby's doing nothing in Chi-Town right now.
Yeah, and the Cubs have been bad, by the way. Brett Boone's there? Let's talk to him.
He's the main.
Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Granger. And Brett, it's good to have you back on. Obviously, we're talking about the Braves who are 9 games behind the Phillies. Well, maybe we're freaking out more than we should be. I don't know, man. Can you talk us off the ledge? Because I don't know. Maybe we're spoiled.
Yeah, we're spoiled.
And we're used to seeing this team, yeah, being out in front of this division. But they're taking on the Giants in a game 2 of a 3-game set tonight. Then the Phillies come in town. Where are you at with our Braves right now? It's July 3rd.
I've been doing, you know, I've been doing a lot of reflecting here, and I'm trying to come up with, cause, yeah, I do, you know, I'm talking to the people in San Diego, the people in Seattle, who are just tickled to death that they're above 500, Braves, the expectations, and you set those expectations, that comes with winning. People start to expect it, you know, outside of New York, Atlanta's one of the few markets. That really year in and year out, it's like, no, you've set the bar now. We expect it. We want to go to the World Series, and I love that about it. But I'm looking at the game in 2024. It's a completely different game. You know, years ago, and I've covered this before on your show, the 162 was so crucial. It was a marathon. At the end, man, if I was on a team that won the division, you'd finish that schedule and go, wow, what? And if you won the division, you were one of the best teams in baseball. It's a different platform now. It's all about getting a seat at the table. I think in modern day, you're seeing the people getting injured so much, and it affects the dynamic of a team because you have stars going down for teams all around baseball, and that affects how they play. You take two of the big guys down, and that's going to affect everybody else. You take two of their guys out of the rotation, and injuries are at an all-time high. I've never seen anything like it. That being said, I think what's important now, it's not how you're playing. I saw the Yankees come through here in San Diego about 3-4 weeks ago. I watched that team play, and anyone I talked to, I said, you do not want to play the Yankees right now. They can't. They're struggling. They've won 3 out of their last 10 games. They look like a completely different team. Yes, Giancarlo Stanton went down. They're banged up throughout the rotation. Looks like a little fatigue in that rotation. But my point is, you want to place yourself to have a seat at the table come postseason. And the team that gets healthy, seat at that table in the postseason, that's the time to play your best baseball. And it's not crucial to have that overwhelming win 100 game season that in years past, maybe you had to do that just to get into the postseason. So it's a different dynamic. I think the teams that get healthy at the right time, hit the ground running, come playoff time, that's the formula these days. And it's not necessarily the best team going forward you're going to see winning the World Series. It's the hottest team.
Again, Brett, you were part of a team in 99 that kind of overachieved with the Braves. We've seen teams that with Bobby Cox were loaded, had all those Cy Young Award winners, you know, lineups going from the Crime Dog to Sheffield and everybody else that played for the Braves. It's just one of the best three teams in baseball every year. So you're right. Best team doesn't always win. I just want to be the Diamondbacks. You know, I mean, I don't care. I'm not looking for style points at this point, you know, 9 games over 500. But the Phillies just seem like they are really dialed in. They're without Schwarber and Bryce Harper, and they've won 7 of their last 10.
Well, I think the key to the Phillies, just like the Seattle Mariners who are leading their division, now Houston's on their heels. They won, you know, 9 out of their last 10 ball games, and Houston went from dead and gone. We already buried them to they're knocking on the door in that division. So there's teams that are getting hot right now. But But I don't know. When it comes to this Philly team, they're different. They're like the Seattle Mariners, where they can kind of weather the storm with a real Moto being out, a Harper being out, Schwarber all on the IL right now because of that starting rotation. When you go Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, Sanchez, you have the ability that a lot of teams don't have when your big guys are banged up on the offensive side. You can still weather the storm. Phillies, that's as good a starting rotation as there is in the game of baseball right now. I think that's why you see the Phillies where they are. When they get locked and loaded, everybody healthy on that roster, I don't know if there's a better team in baseball.
Brett, are you surprised at what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing? Listen, Craig Counsell leaves and goes to the Cubs, and everybody was hot, right? Oh, he's a traitor. They're PO'd. And now the Cubs are, like, in last place. And here the Brewers are leading the Central, and everybody thought that they'd take a step back. That has not been the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just goes to my point. You know, they put all this onus on the manager and how important the manager. Listen, I played this game a long time. There's not too many times after a game I sat around with my buddies having a beer saying, oh, the manager really screwed us tonight. No, it's players. We win games, we lose games. What you do is the great managers I got to play for, and I got to play for a lot of them, they managed people, they managed personalities. They put their personalities and their egos in that room. They put them in the best position to succeed. That's what the great managers do. It's once the game starts, it's in the player's hands. Yeah, you got to bring in the lefty, bring in the righty. Nowadays, a computer can do that. It's about managing people. You get Craig Counsell, who goes to the Cubs. Oh, no, what are we going to do without our manager? What you're going to do is win, and you're leading the division. And I think something, you know, it gets overlooked. Tampa Bay comes to mind for me at developing a culture. Kevin Cash and that front office there, they've really developed the culture. When you go into Tampa Bay Rays, and I can't even name Tampa Bay players on a year-to-year basis because they're going in and out so much, but when you walk into that clubhouse in spring training, there's something in there that says, no, we expect to win here. Now, they haven't won a World Series, but they're knocking on that postseason door every single season, and you can't name the players on the field because they change so much. They change on a yearly basis. I think I look at the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's what they've done. They've created a culture in Milwaukee where you come in and those players, whoever they may be, people that you add in the offseason, they come in there with an expectations of, oh, we're in Milwaukee. We're going to win the division. If we don't, we're going to the playoffs. And I think that's something that's really not prevalent in today's game. Yeah, the teams that have the overwhelming talent year in and year out, yes, that they have that culture, but that's a lot of talent. Milwaukee always has good talent. But when you thought they're getting rid of their number one starter, Burns, you thought, well, Milwaukee, this is going to be a down year. No, they're sitting there right now in the middle of the hunt like they always are at 51-35. I think it's a culture thing.
It is Brett Boone, guys, our Odyssey Baseball Insider. We're live at Taco Mac in Woodstock on Dukes and Bell. The Pirates are like everybody's feeder system, but we just saw the Pirates come through. Great young pitchers. They got one of the great young hitters at shortstop. I feel for those folks, Brett. I don't know if you ever played in your experience in the big leagues a team that just didn't have the resources and just would see talent just get stolen like the Pirates seem to every year.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I don't really know what the answer is for that, you know, with the Pittsburgh ball club. It's the Pirates are kind of an iconic team. I go back into my childhood in the 70s, the Big Bad Buccos, and I remember Bill Madlock, and you know, and I remember
we Willie are family.
Stark. Oh, it was unbelievable. They were mean, you know. You had Burt Blyleven on the hill, hitting people in the head, and that's just the way. Cromarty was in Montreal. I'm trying to think of the
Dave Parker. Omar Moreno.
Right field. Omar Moreno is the guy in center field. And, you know, it just, I don't know. There's so much history in Pittsburgh to see where they are now. And they do have talent. I mean, this Skeens kid has brought a lot of attention, a lot of eyeballs to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he's a sensation. You know, hopefully he can stay healthy, mentioning health earlier on in the program. He's my generation version of a Kerry Wood. He's the last generation version of a Steven Strasburg. It's a once in a lifetime. Like,
oh, Matt, guys, right off of Highway 92, right across from the Home Depot here is where we are. And Come on out and join us. Mike and I'll be here till 6:30 tonight because Atlanta United takes on New England. By the way, how do we play tonight, man? After that emotional win.
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's so Atlanta United. Tiari makes that an unbelievable, whoops, now you see me, now you don't. Steal of the goalkeeper's ball. Amazing finish, one of the craziest finishes in MLS history. And now he's hurt. And now he's out. So I don't know how. Did he get hurt in the celebration? Did somebody jump on his shoulder? I don't know, man. But, yeah, hopefully we can build off that momentum. Because, you know, as we say, we've seen a lot with United, with the Braves, one step forward, two steps back. Hopefully it leads to something. But, you know, Garth is in the process of adding new pieces, getting new faces in here. Because, you know, whatever you thought about Almada, and certainly Yorgos left earlier, you got to replace that kind of scoring, that attack.
No, you absolutely do. So that's going to come your way, 6:30 pregame tonight. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Our guy, and by the way, one of the big reasons we get a chance to come out here, and we certainly appreciate it, is our beer is on the wall, and they have a huge wall of brews on draft.
As you guys know, Taco Mac University, you drink enough of them, like our buddy, and eventually you get your own place on the wall, and then you get to have your own selections. And he was a big fan of Hey Man.
Yes. Yeah, so,
and is.
So Trey said, hey, I want Hey Man on the wall, and that's one of the reasons why you can order it out here on draft. But it's in so many restaurants, obviously, in all the Publix around the state of Georgia, and many ways to get it with all the big stores, man, whether it's Total Wine, Bullets, wherever you go, Hey Man is going to be there. And by the way, get some watermelon lime in your life as well.
Yeah.
We are waiting on our buddy Brett Boone. We're going to talk to him in just a second here as we get a chance to talk some baseball. But while we were talking about the Braves, speaking of Trey, he came over and he said, was anybody paying attention to Arcia and his average and how he wasn't hitting last year? And the answer is no, because everybody else was hitting. But Mike, when you are not hitting as a team and certainly not scoring the runs
right. That
you should be, everything is glaring.
It's magnified.
It absolutely is. So it's not just about one guy, but he brought that up just saying, like, we weren't even talking about the fact that Arcia wasn't hitting last year. He hit, you know, better than expected, but he wasn't killing it, but he didn't have to. Because, again, the guys that were carrying this team, whether it was Acuna or Riley or Austin or Olsen, that's the difference.
But, I mean, so this gets back to that conversation you and I had about, you know, what is Matt Olson and what is to be expected for him as far as, you know, the numbers. He's kind of come back to where he was in Oakland. Last year he had a career year.
He did.
You know, and if you're looking at Arcia last year batted .264. You know, for his career he's a .243 hitter. So now he's at .211. So the equilibrium, as we said, I know it's cliche. The baseball card does kind of tell the story. But remember, I joked around with you yesterday. Somebody was complaining about it on the text line. I'm like, oh, you're going to bring Dansby back? Dansby's horrible.
Oh, yeah, he's been bad.
Dansby's doing nothing in Chi-Town right now.
Yeah, and the Cubs have been bad, by the way. Brett Boone's there? Let's talk to him.
He's the main.
Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Granger. Brett, it's good to have you back on. Obviously, we're talking about the Braves who are 9 games behind the Phillies. Well, maybe we're freaking out more than we should be. I don't know, man. Can you talk us off the ledge? Because I don't know. Maybe we're spoiled.
Yeah, we're spoiled.
And we're used to seeing this team, yeah, being out in front of this division. But they're taking on the Giants in a game 2 of a 3-game set tonight. Then the Phillies come in town. Where are you at with our Braves right now? It's July 3rd.
I've been doing a lot of reflecting here, and I'm trying to come up with, I do, you know, I'm talking to the people in San Diego, the people in Seattle, who are just tickled to death that they're above 500, Braves, the expectations, and you set those expectations, that comes with winning. People start to expect it, you know, outside of New York, Atlanta's one of the few markets that really year in and year out, it's like, no, you've set the bar now. We expect it. We want to go to the World Series, and I love that about it. But I'm looking at the game in 2024. It's a completely different game. You know, years ago, and I've covered this before on your show, the 162 was so crucial. It was a marathon. At the end, man, if I was on a team that won the division, you'd finish that schedule and go, wow, what? And if you won the division, you were one of the best teams in baseball. It's a different platform now. It's all about getting a seat at the table. I think in modern day, you're seeing the end 24. People getting injured so much, and it affects the dynamic of a team because you have stars going down for teams all around baseball, and that affects how they play. You take two of the big guys down, and that's going to affect everybody else. You take two of their guys out of the rotation, and injuries are at an all-time high. I've never seen anything like it. That being said, I think what's important now, it's not how you're playing. I saw the Yankees come through here in San Diego about 3-4 weeks ago. I watched that team play, and anyone I talked to, I said, you do not want to play the Yankees right now. They can't. They're struggling. They've won 3 out of their last 10 games. They look like a completely different team. Yes, Giancarlo Stanton went down. They're banged up throughout the rotation. Looks like a little fatigue in that rotation. But my point is, you want to place yourself to have a seat at the table come postseason. And the team that gets healthy, seat at that table in the postseason, that's the time to play your best baseball. And it really, it's not crucial to have that overwhelming win 100-game season that in years past, maybe you had to do that just to get into the postseason. So it's a different dynamic. I think the teams that get healthy at the right time, hit the ground running come playoff time, that's the formula these days, and it's not necessarily the best team going forward you're going to see winning the World Series. It's the hottest team.
Again, Brett, you were part of a team in 99 that kind of overachieved with the Braves. We've seen teams that with Bobby Cox were loaded, had all those Cy Young Award winners, you know, lineups going from the Crime Dog to Sheffield and everybody else that played for the Braves. It's just one of the best three teams in baseball every year. So you're right. Best team doesn't always win. I just want to be the Diamondbacks. You know, I mean, I don't care. I'm not looking for style points at this point, you know, 9 games over .500. But the Phillies just seem like they are really dialed in. They're without Schwarber and Bryce Harper, and they've won 7 of their last 10.
Well, I think the key to the Phillies, just like the Seattle Mariners who are leading their division, now Houston's on their heels. They've won, you know, nine out of their last 10 ball games, and Houston went from dead and gone. We already buried them to they're knocking on the door in that division. So there's teams that are getting hot right now. But I don't know. When it comes to this Philly team, they're different. They're like the Seattle Mariners where they can kind of weather the storm with a Real Muto being out, a Harper being out, Schwarber all on the IL right now because of that starting rotation. When you go Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, Sanchez, you have the ability that a lot of teams don't have when your big guys are banged up on the offensive side. You can still weather the storm. Phillies, that's as good a starting rotation as there is in the game of baseball right now. I think that's why you see the Phillies where they are. When they get locked and loaded, everybody healthy on that roster, I don't know if there's a better team in baseball.
Brett, are you surprised at what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing? Listen, Craig Counsell leaves and goes to the Cubs, and everybody was hot, right? Oh, he's a traitor. They're PO'd. And now the Cubs are, like, in last place. And here the Brewers are leading the Central, and everybody thought that they'd take a step back. That has not been the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just goes to my point. You know, they put all this onus on the manager and how important the manager. Listen, I played this game a long time. There's not too many times after a game I sat around with my buddies having a beer saying, oh, the manager really screwed us tonight. No, it's players. We win games, we lose games. What you do is the great managers I got to play for, and I got to play for a lot of them, they managed people. They managed personalities. They put their personalities and their egos in that room. They put them in the best position to succeed. That's what the great managers do. It's once the game starts, it's in the player's hands. Yeah, you got to bring in the lefty, bring in the righty. Nowadays, a computer can do that. It's about managing people. You get Craig Counsell, he goes to the Cubs. Oh, no, what are we going to do without our manager? What you're going to do is win, and you're leading the division. And I think something, you know, it gets overlooked. Tampa Bay comes to mind for me at developing a culture. Kevin Cash and that front office there, they've really developed the culture. When you go into Tampa Bay Rays, and I can't even name Tampa Bay players on a year-to-year basis because they're going in and out so much, but when you walk into that clubhouse in spring training, there's something in there that says, no, we expect to win here. Now, they haven't won a World Series, but they're knocking on that postseason door every single season, and you can't name the players on the field because they change so much. They change on a yearly basis. I think I look at the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's what they've done. They've created a culture in Milwaukee where you come in and those players, whoever they may be, people that you add in the offseason, they come in there with an expectations of, oh, we're in Milwaukee, we're going to win the division. If we don't, we're going to the playoffs. And I think that's something that's really not prevalent in today's game. Yeah, the teams that have the overwhelming talent year in and year out, yes, that they have that culture, but that's a lot of talent. Milwaukee always has good talent. But when you thought they're getting rid of their number one starter, Burns, you thought, well, Milwaukee, this is going to be a down year. No, they're sitting there right now in the middle of the hunt like they always are at 51 and 35. I think it's a culture thing.
It is Brett Boone, guys, our Odyssey Baseball Insider. We're live at Taco Mac in Woodstock on Dukes and Bell. The Pirates are like everybody's feeder system, but we just saw the Pirates come through. Great young pitchers. They got one of the great young hitters at shortstop. I feel for those folks, Brett. I don't know if you ever played in your experience in the big leagues a team that just didn't have the resources and just would see talent just get stolen like the Pirates seem to every year.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I don't really know what the answer is for that, you know, with the Pittsburgh ball club. It's the Pirates are kind of an iconic team. I go back into my childhood in the 70s, the Big Bad Buccos, and I remember Bill Madlock, and, you know, and I remember
we
Willie
are family.
Stark. Oh, it was unbelievable. They were mean, you know. You had Bert Blyleven on the hill hitting people in the head, and that's just the way. Cromarty was in Montreal. I'm trying to think of the
Dave Parker. Omar Moreno.
Right field. Omar Moreno's the guy in center field. And, you know, it just, I don't know, there's so much history in Pittsburgh to see where they are now. And they do have talent. I mean, this Skeens kid has brought a lot of attention, a lot of eyeballs to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he's a sensation. You know, hopefully he can stay healthy, mentioning health earlier on in the program. He's my generation's version of a Kerry Wood. He's the last generation's version of a Steven Strasburg. It's a once in a lifetime, like a generational talent, and he's bringing a lot of that to Pittsburgh right now. But if it has any staying power, and if they're going to make the postseason, they're kind of flirting with it. You know, they're 4 games under .500. I don't think it's going to be in the cards for them this year. They got to find a way. Ownership's got to find a way to compete. If you're talking about just finances, go to Tampa Bay. They have some kind of formula where they don't have the finances. In my day, the Oakland A's and the American League West were always at the bottom of the payroll. But I'll tell you what, good team year in and year out, winning 100 games. Right now, down on their luck, I don't know what's going on in Oakland, but it can be done with limited funds.
Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional grade supplies and solutions. We're talking with our buddy, Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. All right, last thing for me, and that is Home Run Derby. Ohtani says he won't participate. What's your opinion on it? Does it drain you? Do you want guys that are on a heater to participate? I mean, we've talked time and time again over the years about
the curse.
Yeah, how it takes away from the rest of your season, potentially.
Well, I don't believe in that at all. It's like the old golf thing. Do you not play golf on your day off or during the season because it messes with your swing? No, I don't play golf because I can't play 18 holes and then I got a 9-inning game to play. But it doesn't mess with my swing. I was fortunate enough in 2 home run derbies. One went okay. One didn't go so good. But when I was playing, I look back now as a 55-year-old man looking at my for what I got to do. Man, it's fleeting. It's so quick. You know, I played almost 15 years, and it went by in the blink of an eye. I think the players should embrace the game. Every time you get invited to an All-Star game, happily get on that plane and go there. Don't tell me your groin hurts. If you get invited to a home run derby, that's what the public wants to see. That's what the fans want to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see an Ohtani. I want to see an Aaron Judge. That's what the baseball world wants. It grows the game. It does nothing but good for the game. My advice is embrace it. Do everything you can when you're lucky enough to play this game for a living, because one day it's going to be gone. And I can speak to it now, being 15 years retired, that I would love to do it. I got to do 2. I screwed up the second one. I came home. My teammate said to me, Booney, that was horrible, your home run derby. And I looked at him and I said, listen, before you get invited or qualify for a home run derby, I don't want to hear it from you because you've got no opinion. So I had that. Yeah, you face a little scrutiny in the second half. You don't do good in the home run derby, but it's all good fun. It's just an exhibition. I want to see Ohtani and I want to see Judge in the home run derby because that's what the baseball world wants to see.
I know we'll have some time next week or next time we visit to talk about the All-Star game, but the one, you know, you played in the 98. It was your first one. Your dad was a 4-time All-Star. What was that like? Were you just like starstruck? Were you like totally like, how about when you went to your first All-Star game?
You know what? Absolutely. You know, I grew up in that world. So, you know, I grew up, my childhood was in big league clubhouses in Philadelphia and Anaheim, and I was around them all the time. So the shock and awe wasn't that big of a deal to me, but I'll tell you, when I put the uniform on as a player, and I did this for a living, I received a check to do this, I was as awe as any other player out. And to walk in that first All-Star Game locker room, and I remember it was in Colorado, and I'm trying to be cool, play it like no big deal. Yeah, of course I'm at the All-Star Game. But inside, that was just another goal that we set out as little kids. You know, when you're a little leaguer, I want to be a big leaguer. Then when you're in the minor league, I want to be a big leaguer, I want to be an All-Star. And then you start to add up these credentials. I was a kid in a candy store. I didn't know the protocol. I brought my jerseys. I'm like, you know, I'm asking people, like, hey, do they sign them? Yeah, Brett, there's a big room, whatever you want, sign, get it in there. But when guys go in and they come out, they don't go back in there. So I was getting all my stuff, lining it up, and just listening to guys that I've been playing with and against for years and the conversations that went on. Yeah, that first All-Star game, I was a kid in a candy shop, and, man, it's pretty awesome. And it didn't matter what childhood was like growing up in those clubhouses. Nothing changes when you do it on your own merits as a big league ball player versus a little kid probably bugging the crap out of people.
Great stuff. Brett Boone, man, enjoy the 4th of July. We'll talk to you next week.
And you too, guys. Yeah, I'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Cool. Thank you so much. Good stuff there from him. And he said, we have high expectations. He's right about the Braves. And it might be part of our issue. But the fact is, there were still an expectation that this team was going to be really good, even without Spencer Strider, right, even when Ronald Acuna went
down. Even with that, just like 21, we're not – I don't think there's a Brave fan listening who's prepared to concede that we're out of it by any stretch. Just got to hope that Alex can pull that rabbit or maybe four or five rabbits out of a hat by the deadline.
All right, we're coming back. NFL Blitz is on the way. We're live at Taco Mac and Woodstock. It's Dukes and Bell.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.